Ranost in nesvoboda. Po drugi strani pa so toliko močnejša tudi politična in socialno-aktivistična gibanja, ki skušajo odkrivati in izpostaviti krivice in zablode, ki jih povzroča vladajoča garnitura in obstoječe stanje poriniti proti bolj uravnovešenemu in umirjenemu socialnemu stanju. Ena takih je brazilska veja mednarodne neodvisne medijske organizacije Indimedia, ki se je v 3 letih delovanja postavila na vodilno mesto brazilske neodvisne medijske scene. V São Paulo, bazi brazilske IMC, smo se pogovarjali s Pablom, pobudnikom in glavnim motorjem te ekipe.
And the media Brazil started in mid 2000, I don't know, May, June 2000. It was started by a group of activists in São Paulo. We're organizing, we're part of the so-called anti-globalization movement. We used to follow in the global in the media. We saw the role that in the media play in the protest against the WTO, November 30, 1999. And there were at the time 10 or 15 in the media in the media websites around the world, and we said that maybe it was the time, since we were organizing, you know, for protests in São Paulo, to set up an in the media website. So that's how it started, with a very small group of 6 people. We worked for probably 6 months without having a website, just getting documents and structuring ourselves. And then we finally started, you know, managing the website on December, year 2000. Since then, we had the first year, which was very, very hard. For many months, we had like 2 or 3 people doing all in the media, keeping the website and doing most of the stuff. And then gradually things start evolving. We had more and more volunteers.
Kolektiv se je hitro širil tudi na druge urbane centre Brazilije. In tako ima danes brazilska IMC 7 postojank. Poleg São Paula so dejavne še izpostave Belo Horizonte, Fortaleza, Goiânia, Porto Alegre, Rio de Janeiro in Salvador. Pablo bo zdaj govoril še podrobneje o rasti in aktivnosti kolektiva in kako celo postajajo referenčni za veliki mediji.
I think in the media, and I can say generally in Brazil, not only in São Paulo, it started as a very marginalized group. It grew out of the so-called anti-globalization movement, which was basically a movement made up of youth, urban youth, from which are very somehow very localized kind of movement. However, in the you know, we've been active for 3 years now. We have really increased in terms of number. We have, I don't know how many, but a few hundred people being volunteers in the media, which is good. And we have really grown also in terms of attendance and respect from other media. At this time, I think in the media is certainly the website which is more hits and in Brazil, most important alternative website on in Brazil. We have 20,000 people checking the website every day, which is a lot for Brazil, because there's not much people on the internet. We have only 15% of the population with internet access. So 20,000 is a good number for us. And with that, as we grew in terms of people, you know, checking the website and people helping out, we start, you know, getting some respect from different from other alternative media and even from mainstream media. One curious thing that I can tell you is that last month the largest Brazilian newspaper invited in the media for a workshop because they wanted Folha de São Paulo, they wanted an editor for Folha wanted in the media to criticize the newspaper in an internal workshop. They wanted to know what in the media had to say about their newspaper so they can improve their journalism. I think that tells a lot. That was something we didn't think of. It was very funny, and it still is very funny. Something that we never expected, you know, a couple of years ago, that the largest, you know, they sell 1 million newspapers on Sunday. And they would ask, you know, a bunch of radical kids, you know, to tell them what they think is wrong, is wrong with their journalism. So I think it's improving, gaining respectability, even in mainstream circles. But it, of course, it's very far away. We're still marginalized. Most of our audience is urban youth still. It's very homogeneous group. Even though we now have a much more diverse and wider audience than in the past. Things are improving, but it's not as good as we want it to be.
Kako se je sploh začela zgodba o indie mediji kot mednarodnem neodvisnem mediju in kako brazilska indie media sodeluje z drugimi družbeno angažiranimi gibanji?
You know, and the media was first thought of, it was set up in a media congress in California in mid-1999. The idea behind the media was to have a database, an internet database, where different media organizations like newspapers and magazines and radio, they could exchange stories, you know, with copyleft, without copyright. So you'd have like all the different magazines and new and alternative newspapers, they would put the story they produced on this database in an internet website, and that gave them the right to take out another article produced by some other, you know, media, and they would be exchanging information. The same apply for radio and even for, you know, video TV, alternative TV. That was the idea behind Animedia. But what happened in 1999 during the demonstrations against the WTO is that the website wasn't used only by journalists, alternative leftist journalism. It was used by the people themselves. So what you had was the protester in the street who go home or go to a cyber cafe or whatever and publish their own description. They wouldn't, you know, it wasn't used only by the journalists or the people doing media, it was doing by the ordinary protester who, you know, put his report or do an interview or put his pictures. So that's the spirit. And after that, in the media, you know, became this, a media project where we try to surpass the mediation of the journalists. So the people who are doing, you know, the news are the people who are producing the stories. What we try to do here in Brazil, I mean, we're activists, so it's very important for us. We're all activists. When what we do here in the media, we avoid covering things. You know, when, you know, today happened the gay parade, which is a very important, you know, demonstration. 800,000 people are in the streets, you know, for gay rights. What we try to do is not to go there as reporters. We go there as activists because we support the cause. And actually, we have a few gay rights activists who are part of in the media, and they're usually who are doing those kind of stories. And they write not from an outside perspective, but as someone who's an organizer, who's deeply involved in the process. And they will do the report. And also in the media web, we you know, we try to do as much as we can to stimulate the people who's on the march, who's on the parade, to write their own stories. The same goes for all the other social movements. We do a huge effort to connect with the social movements and to give them, you know, voice their own reports, to give their own opinion, you know, to report the facts without us mediating the thing or writing as a journalist. So our policy, you know, as a media collective is not to do journalism, you know, it's to capacitate people to produce their own media.
V Braziliji ima trenutno oblast levica, vsaj uradno, delovska stranka Partido dos Trabalhadores oziroma PT in zaenkrat še priljubljeni predsednik Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva sta si izredno priljubljenost in zmago na lanskih volitvah priborila predvsem staroslavo sindikalnega boja iz začetka 80-ih ter levo usmerenih obljub, ki so jih takoj po izvolitvi zasukali krepko na desno. Brazilija ima bogato zgodovino družbenega aktivizma in levičarskih gibanj, vendar pa se to očitno ne odraža zadost tudi v tankašnjem medijskem prostoru.
Brazil, in a very general perspective, Brazil lacks a large left media. It doesn't. It's something very shocking because we have a very strong left. I mean, all the story of the PT, which, you know, which was amazing story, it's probably the largest left party in the world. And we have like a very strong, very, you know, recent, in the 80s, you know, had very strong social movements, you know, neighborhood movements, a very strong union movement, you know, free radio movements, and we have all kinds of movements were very strong. And but those movements didn't build an alternative media, even if they were all concentrated in one party, one leftist party. For some reason, you know, all the conditions at that time in the 80s were there to start a big media, big newspaper who would have national, you know, impact. But they didn't. And the fact is that there was this this difference between a movement that is, in a sense, very strong, but we don't have a very strong alternative media that goes with it. So what we do have, we have our largest magazine, our largest left media here is Caros Amigos, which is, it's probably 50,000 copies a month, which is not very much. I mean, for Brazil, it's a very large country, and this is the largest. Now we have this newspaper, which is done by people connected to the MST, called Brasil de Fato. But I think it's a weekly newspaper. They probably have 50,000, maybe less, maybe 30,000. So it's very little. I mean, the largest thing is very little for the size of the country and for, you know, the size of its own left. So I think the situation with alternative media in Brazil is that things are very small. We have to build it from zero. All this, even Caros Amigos is, I don't know, 5 years old. Brasil de Fato is 4 months old. And the media is 3 months old. I mean, we don't have like a history. We don't have any, I can think of any, you know, magazine or newspaper alternative has a long history, even though we had all the conditions to have done that in the 80s. So we missed, you know, the time in history. And now we have to start from below. I hope that changes, but that's the situation right now.
Indymedia je medijska organizacija in aktivisti, ki sodelujejo v tem kolektivu, se protestov in raznih direktnih akcij praviloma udeležujejo pod okriljem drugih aktivističnih organizacij, pa vendar je Indymedia sama nedavno izvedla dve akciji v podporo neodvisnim radijem, ki jih oblasti zapirajo kot zastavo. Pablo opisuje obe akciji.
We never originally ever got involved in action as in the media, even though as individuals we're part of different anti-capitalist networks, we were involved in protests and campaigns and so on. However, very recently we decided to do get involved in protests and campaigns that concerned with media-related issues. So, for example, in the beginning, you know, in the past, I don't know, 6 months, we had probably the greatest a repressive offensive against community and free radios. There was, in the past 6 months, 1,000 radios were closed. So there was an unprecedented action. Very, you know, they were closing and closing all the radios. And we decided that we, as a media group, were also activists, that we should, as an in the media, you know, be involved in actions. So far, but this is something new we have been discussing in the past months, very recent. We have done basically two actions. The first one was to set up a free radio on Avenida Paulista. Avenida Paulista is the main avenue where all the bank headquarters and multinational corporation headquarters are in São Paulo. So this is like the big, most important avenue where, you know, the companies and the banks are. We're invited for a media festival there, and we decided that our participation in the festival was to set up a free radio, not only a free radio inside, you know, in the heart of the beast, but also to defy the federal government to close us, because this offensive against community and free radios is done at dark, where people don't see it, where there is no press, at the very poor communities where no one, you know, where public opinion never learns about it. So we decided to do something very central, very downtown, and we publicly defy, we, you know, printed a manifesto, we sent to all newspapers, to all televisions, that is saying that we are defying the federal government to close us down because we're very open and we're broadcasting. We gave them the frequency where we were broadcasting. We gave them the address where we were broadcasting. We defied the government to come and close us. And of course, the government didn't fell in our trap and didn't go. In a sense, whatever the government did, it didn't matter, because if it did close us, it only did publicly what it did in hidden. And if it didn't close us, it proved our point that the government only do it hiddenly. When you're open, it's in the newspaper, they're doing something very illegal. We're doing, you know, in the eyes of everybody and the government, we defy, we call. We are on air and we call from a cell phone the federal police saying, look, we're broadcasting, we're defined, and they didn't come and close us. Because, you know, it's part of their policy to, you know, to close the radios from the poor neighborhoods, but they wouldn't do it with at some visible. They wouldn't send the federal police with machine guns. It's how they do it with the radios. So that was our first action. And later after that, as repression continued, we decided to do an even bolder action. We took advantage of our, you know, we're a network, we're in seven cities, well established in seven cities. We decided that each in the media collective, we as in the media, we would occupy the offices of the National Telecommunications Agency, which is the agency that controls radios in Brazil. So all we did was at a given time, in a given date, everybody would go together at the same time in different cities, we would occupy the offices as a form of protest. And at each office, we would go there and we'll demand, while occupying the office, to demand an interview with the general manager of the agency to ask him, to ask them, the managers, the question that everybody wants to know, why they're closing, why they have this very narrow interpretation of the law, why they support the big corporations and close the community radios. Question we do all the time, but they refuse to answer. So we will force them to answer to our questions. We'll go there with cameras, with video cameras and recorders, and, you know, we'll do a public action, you know, demanding for answers, and also we will read, you know, a manifesto protesting. And this was also, we'll call the press in once we occupy the office, so we'll make a big noise, you know, so people, so public opinion could turn their eyes to something that was going on, that was very intense and was not going on in the newspaper.
Še pomembnejši pa je boj, ki ga brazilska civilna družba z Indimedia na čelu bije ravno ta čas, namreč boj proti sprejetju in implementaciji sporazuma o prosti trgovinski coni Amerik oziroma FTAA oziroma ALCA po brazilsko. ZDA če dalje bolj pritiskajo na gospodarsko bolj ali manj odvisne države Latinske Amerike, da sprejmejo usiljene pogoje medsebojnega združevanja, ki so jih seveda napisali interesi ameriškega kapitala in ki se ne ozirajo na negativne posledice za južnoameriške delavce, za socialne pravice in okolje. Proti temu sporazumu je bila tudi danes vladajoča stranka PT, a le do izvolitve. Predsednik Lula je na julijskem obisku Združenih držav Bushu obljubil sprejetje FTAA sporazuma v letu 2005.
Going out in newspaper. As I told you, in the media, it was very connected since the start with the so-called anti-globalization movement or anti-corporate globalization movement or anti-capitalist, whatever you want to call it. And this movement was, since the start, very involved in the campaign against the FTAA ALCA. And in the media was a very important part of that. I mean, we're certainly the first media in Brazil to talk a lot about FTA and to explain people what was involved. Right now, it's a very popular issue, you know, because you know, the left now is talking. But back in year 2000 or 2001, nobody would talk about Oka. Oka was something that people did, nobody even know about it. And we were starting, you know, talking to people and calling people's attention that this was a free trade agreement. Was very, you know, dangerous for workers' rights, environmental laws, and consumer protection laws. So since the very beginning, Animedia was involved. We did, for example, a print newspaper, two print newspapers about the FTAA. One which was 20,000 copies, the other 100,000 copies. They were distributed as part of the anti-FTAA campaign, which is, as I told you, by the numbers of the other publications in Brazil. This is really a lot, and this was single themed. This was specifically about the FTAA, and we did videos about the FTAA. So we have history of being very involved. I have been following very careful the development and the negotiations around the FTAA. And right now, we're in a very, you know, sensitive moment, because we have in government a leftist government who has a history of opposition, to the social effects of globalization. They used to be very critical of that in the past, but in the past year or so has given a very sudden right turn, and they have adopted some very neoliberal policies, part of which is, you know, keep negotiating the FTAA agreement. In year 2002, there was an unofficial national plebiscite against the FTAA, in which 10 million people said no to the FTAA. That's a very sizable participation. 10 million people, that's, I don't know, maybe 20% of voters in Brazil took part in this plebiscite, which is a lot of people for an unofficial. It didn't have any support from the government. The government was openly against it. The media didn't cover it at all. So it all came from mobilization from social movements who managed to get those 10 million people participating. And they said no to the FTAA. The Workers' Party left that campaign because they didn't want to feel obliged to, you know, follow what the plebiscite had determined. And they had determined not to negotiate the FTAA, to, you know, go away, forget about the FTAA, because this is bad for workers' rights and for the environment. What this government has done, however, it's the very opposite. They kept negotiating the FTAA. Our president has just come from a visit to the United States, where they said, we're negotiating the FTAA for year 2005, which is basically 1 year from now, 1 year and a half from now. So what we have as part of civil society, what we have ahead of us is, you know, 18 months of very strong mobilization and campaign, you know, so civil society can prevent the government from signing this agreement.
Tako, v današnjem Zeitgeistu smo slišali, kdo so, kako so organizirani in kako delujejo in s čem se spopadajo aktivisti brazilske indie medije, katere spletni naslov lahko čekirate na naši strani www.radiostudent.si. Nismo pa slišali, zakaj je Slovenija ena redkih evropskih držav in pa edina v svojem območju, ki še ni uspela zagnati takega centra. Že res, da akutnost stanja v brazilski družbi prekaša tisto v slovenski, pa vendar bi bilo ob naraščajočem socialnem neravnovesju, politični in gospodarski korupciji ter postani medijski sceni nujno kaj takega zalaufati tudi pri nas. Zeitgeist sva pripravila Manček in Robi.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, pa te samostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre so vrata, ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa prema vrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna eno šlo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in tudi siv, ne ta nemški očaj, ne, črni pa to ne, prav tista prava volna, ne, krasna.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, vsako drugo nedeljo, ob 8 zvečer, na Radiu Študent.
You the question, who is the number one set and sound? You will quickly reply,
Radio Studio.